Greetings, greetings, my dear, wonderful sisters and brothers of the human family. My dear, wonderful sisters and brothers of the Uhuru family. This is Deacon Christopher Frazier. I am your minister of information. And this is thinkaboutit.org, the Mind of God program. Today's recording date is Sunday, June the 5th, 2011. And we are yet in the book of Revelation, examining the mind of Christ, the mind of God, looking at the revelation of Jesus Christ, so that we may understand how we're to move in this time of Babylon, which is over. The time of Babylon is done. This is the end of the wicked system right here as we live. The kingdom of God in heaven, you are looking at manifesting in the uprising of the people all over the earth. The people of the earth, the masses, black, brown, red, yellow, and poor white, are sick and tired of this wicked, no good, rotten system. And we are looking at Christ in the people as we collectively rise up against this system. Now, Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. We're yet examining this letter, the seven letters written to the seven churches in Asia, written by the African revolutionary apostle John, dictated to him by the black African revolutionary Hebrew Messiah, Yahshua, Christus, Yahshua, Mashiach, Jesu Christo, known to us as Jesus Christ. And what we are doing is understanding that each of these letters given to the seven churches of Asia Minor, Mesopotamia, extreme northeast Africa, these seven letters are really prophetic of the church in general, but the black church in particular. And we are looking at these seven letters as giving to us seven characteristics, seven attributes of the black church. All of these letters are showing us an aspect of the church in general, but the black church in particular, because the first Hebrews are African people, the first church were African people, and the church was tasked with fighting the Roman Empire. And we in America have been fighting the United States of North America Empire from 1555 until now. And so, as we continue to look at these seven letters, we're talking to the black preacher, we're talking to the black church member, we're talking to the black church, we're talking to black people, but we're also talking to the human family. because we do not say these things out of arrogance. We say these things so that we may understand that we are to help the human family. Every race, every ethnicity, all of us have a particular gift given to us by the Most High. And when we come together and pool our resources spiritually, mentally, morally, and physically, we will then break the power of the synagogue of Satan. So black people, we are the African Hebrew Israelite nation. And it is us who are prophesied. It is we who are prophesied that the spirit of Christ, the spirit of Christianity would rise up in us. And we would raise that spirit in the human family. And together, we the masses, the poor, the afflicted, the needy, and the oppressed, will and are breaking the power of the synagogue of Satan. Now, Jesus says in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, fear none of these things which thou shalt suffer. Why will you suffer? Because you are revolutionary. Louis Farrakhan, Jeremiah Wright, O'Malley Eshetella, Randall Robinson, Harry Belafonte, Danny Glover, Dick Gregory, Francis Crest Wilson, Winnie Mandela, Nelson Mandela, Desmond Tutu, Tainetta Muhammad. These are just some of the names who are those, or they, who have been revolutionaries in this United States of North America empire and have suffered because of it. Revolutionaries who have passed on. Geronimo Pratt just passed on. He suffered. Dr. King assassinated by these wicked powers, CIA, FBI, and so on. Malcolm X the same. They suffered because they were revolutionaries. Elijah Muhammad, Nation of Islam, Black Panther Party, Newton, Bobby Seale, George Jackson, Fred Hampton, Leonard Peltier, Native American revolutionary. These are revolutionaries who have suffered. But Jesus is telling us not to fear, because in this day and time, we have to fight fear. He said, behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison that ye may be tried. The devil working through governments, the devil working through institutions, the devil working through organizations, CIA, UNICOM, NATO, so on and so forth. Angry because we are rising up as revolutionaries, casting us into prison. Not only a physical prison, but a spiritual, mental, and moral prison. Look at the prison that we have been cast into since the election of a beautiful black man, charismatic black man named Barack Hussein Obama. How we have been cast into a spiritual, mental, and moral prison, unable to speak truth about the empire of the United States of North America and their wicked actions all over the earth, administering coups in Honduras, killing in Libya, overthrowing other governments, assassinating leaders, attacking poor people and working people and unions all over the earth. Some of our so-called black leaders are saying nothing. And Cornel West, who is giving a critical analysis, is now being called, I heard, a traitor to the black race. No, those of us who will not tell the truth about this empire, those are the traitors. But we who are standing up and telling the truth about the United States of North America empire, no matter who is president, that is one you want to listen to. And so we have to break out of this prison that we have been placed into or implaced into. All right, Jesus further says, some of you cast into prison that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. And so, I want to go to a particular scripture to bear down on this fear. We want to examine fear for a few minutes. Jesus says, don't fear. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. You are a revolutionary. You love Jesus, which means you love justice, freedom, equality. You want the poor masses of the people to be organized to break the power of the synagogue of Satan. We're going to suffer some things, but Jesus is telling us not to fear. In Titus, 2 Titus, there were two letters written to Titus by Paul in the New Testament. This is the second letter, 2 Titus chapter 1 and verse 7. Paul talking to Titus, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear." Jesus in the New Testament in Revelation said, "Fear not, don't fear." Paul, knowing Christ, told Titus, "In your fight against the Roman Empire, against the wicked forces of Roman Caesar," he says in verse 7, chapter 1, 2 Titus, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear." Now, that word spirit, let me see what this is in the Greek. Pneuma, all right, the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. But we know, once again, that the Europeans hated the woman, hated the female, did not like the reality that the Holy Spirit is female, feminine, our mother, and so they neutered her. They neutered her and made her a male and called him and said that the Holy Spirit was a he or masculine, but Holy Spirit is our mother. And so, when we understand that the Holy Spirit is our mother, okay, but now this spirit is not capitalized, so it's not talking about the Holy Spirit, but it is talking about the spirit of fear. But that word spirit would yet be feminine. So this word spirit should be said the womb of fear, because the mother is the womb for life, okay? So when you see Holy Spirit, think of the holy womb of Mother Holy Spirit. When you see the word spirit not capitalized, it is yet talking about the feminine quality of the womb, W-O-M-B. So the power of Rome and Caesar, they have given a spirit of fear. The United States of North America Empire have given us a spirit of fear. The womb of fear, the mind, M-I-N-D, is a womb, W-O-M-B. And out of the mind springs forth ideas. And out of those ideas come action. So we are bringing to birth actions because of ideas that have been given life. We're talking about the process of life. Male and female together bring forth life. An idea is like an egg in the womb of a woman. But if the seed of life called sperm does not hit that egg, the egg does not come alive. If we have an idea that remains dormant and is not acted upon, it does not spring forth life. But if we have an idea that is acted upon, that action is that seed of life, spiritual sperm, seed of life, that causes through the action that idea to come to life, and we give birth to actions, and we give birth to that which we have planned. Now, this spirit of fear, this womb of fear, if you are fearful, then the actions coming forth out of the womb of fear will be actions that are not desirable. We are revolutionaries. We cannot fear this system. If we fear the system, we become paralyzed. If we fear the powers, we become paralyzed. And actions coming from fear through paralysis are not the actions that we desire. We do not want to give birth to actions that are hampered by fear. So Paul tells Titus, God has not given us the spirit of fear, the womb of fear, so we are not going to act out of fear. But he says further in this verse 7, chapter 1, 2 Titus, but of power, meaning God has given us not fear, but power. Let's look up this word power right quick. We're just taking our time. Oh, the word power found under the number 1411 on the Greek side of your Strong's Hebrew Greek dictionary is pronounced Dunamis, and it is a feminine noun. Now this word power is exhibited on the feminine side. Now although they didn't want to show the word spirit as feminine, because we're dealing with the attributes of the feminine and the womb, which is a feminine quality, the word for power is coming through the feminine aspect. So this word dynamis is a feminine noun, and it means strength, power, ability, inherent power, power residing in a thing by virtue of its nature. All right. Paul is telling Titus that in our very nature is the power of the Most High. And this word is feminine. The name is, this Greek word is feminine. So women, womanhood, know the power in womanhood. Know the power in the feminine. Know the power in the female. We're talking about the power of the womb. The mind is a womb in which both polarities of masculinity and masculine and feminine work to produce life. And so this word power is coming through the female side. So woman, don't think because you're a woman you don't have power. Woman is powerful. Woman brings life. And so Paul is telling us that the Most High has given us, did I lose it? All right, here we go. Has given us power. Power to do what? Power to break the synagogue of Satan. Power to break Rome. Power to break the house of Rothschilds and the Oppenheimers. And of love. The Most High has given us love. Let's look up this word love in the Greek. Agape. Found under the number 26. On the Greek side of your Strong's Hebrew Greek dictionary, means affection, goodwill, love, benevolence, brotherly love, and I say sisterly love. Love feasts. So this love that engenders goodwill, this love that engenders affection, benevolence, all right? We're to love our sisters and brothers. Love the human family, but especially love the poor, the afflicted, the needy, and the oppressed. We are to, out of that spirit of love for the oppressed, organize on behalf of the oppressed. And, continuing with this verse, of a sound mind. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Let us look up this word, sound mind. Sophronismos. This is a masculine noun. So you see how, see, in Africa, there's nothing neutered. All words are masculine and or feminine. So in the Greek, they wanted to camouflage the Holy Spirit, but these other words are masculine and feminine. So we saw the feminine word power. And then the masculine word for sound mind is the word for sound mind is masculine. This means admonishing or calling to soundness of mind, to moderation and self-control. Now this sound mind, having us to think correctly, having us to be in control, having us to act in moderation. You see, this wicked system wants us to be out of control. This wicked synagogue of Satan want us to be out of control and do not want us to be moderate. Because when we're out of control and not moderate, not acting in moderation, our excesses can be used against us. So we must be of sound mind, thinking correctly, thinking rightly, in self-control, and acting out of moderation so that the Most High can use us to calmly and coolly organize for freedom, justice, and equality. We're going to take our last break, And I will see you on the other side of the break. Greetings again, my dear sisters and brothers of the human family, my dear sisters and brothers of the Uhuru family. This is Deacon Christopher Frazier. I am your minister of information. This is thinkaboutit.org, the Mind of God program. Today's recording date is Sunday, June the 5th, 2011. Working on that fear, that verse, the double root, etymological root for that Greek word for sound mind is, let me see, is 4994, sophronizo, and it means, it's a verb, it means to restore one to his senses. You see, the system has knocked us out of our senses and caused us to act in a mind that is not sound, that is unsound, that is not correct, an incorrect mind. The correct mind is a mind that loves freedom, justice, and equality, the kingdom of God in heaven now on this earth. So the system wants us to buy into warfare, bloodshed, consumerism, materialism. All of this is idolatrous covetousness, to covet land, wealth, resources, that which you do not own. So when we support the bombing in Libya, when we support the coup in Honduras, we need to be restored to our senses. We need to be restored to a sound mind. You see, the next meaning, to moderate, to control, to curb, to disciple. So we see we're not acting in moderation. This system wants us to crave consumerism, materialism. So they want us not to be in control. The root to this is 4998, sophron, on the Greek side again, of a sound mind, okay? Sane. So the system, now the mean, one of the meanings is sane. The opposite of sane is insane. So the system causes us to go insane. This is why there are so many so-called crazy people. But we just point out the people crazy on the streets, sleeping on park benches and whatnot. But what about we who know that this system is rotten? We know that people by the millions are dying, and we say and do nothing. We actually are going to remain quiet because there's a black man in the seat of the presidency of the United States of North America that is insane. And so brothers and sisters like Cornel West rising up, to analyze the actions of the empire and to critically criticize truthfully President Obama. And people want to call Cornell a traitor to the race. That person that said that is insane. And so God wants us to have a sound mind. Bring us back to our sanity. Bring us back to our senses. And so, sisters and brothers, Jesus is telling us, don't fear. Jesus wants us to have a sound mind. Jesus wants us to stand up for freedom, justice, and equality. Stand against the synagogue of Satan. That is a sound mind. That is a person that is in control of their faculties. That is a person that is acting sensibly. But to go along with the synagogue of Satan, to go along with the wicked ruling class and ruling families, the House of Rothschilds and the Oppenheimers and the wicked 1% and 2%, to go along with these wicked plans of both Democrat Party and Republican Party through Representative Ryan and President Barack Obama, go along with their plans to destroy working people and poor people. You may say, well, Democrat Party is not as bad as the Republican Party, but here's the strategy. The House of Rothschilds control both parties, and they present the Republican Party as bad cop. They talk real crazy. And don't even mention the Tea Party. And then the Democratic Party say, well, we don't want to cut the people that bad. Let's just cut them a little bit. Jesus is saying, don't cut the people at all. The people deserve everything under the sun. Justice, freedom, equality, equal access to land, wealth, and resources. That is sane. But to support the wicked plans of these parties, that is insane. And so the Most High wants us to come back to our senses. So why suffer? Jesus said we will suffer so that we may be tried. Let's see. Why suffer? So that we may be tried. That word tried. Let me see now. Let me see what I'm saying. Ah, yeah. That is, Jesus says, behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison that ye may be tried. Jesus is talking about a trial we're going to have to go through. This word tried, 3985, purozo, means to test, to scrutinize. So now, God doesn't tempt you, but God tests us. The Satan tests us as well, but the motivations are different. Satan wants to test us to see if we will remove ourselves from the freedom, justice, revolution, equality movement. God tests us so that we may remain in the movement, remain loyal to Jesus, which is justice. And so we will be tried, and we are being tried. Jesus talks about the 10 days, being cast into jail 10 days. 1 through 9 is a birth. 10 begins the same birthing process on another level. So teaches the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan of the Nation of Islam. So now, thank you, Most High Father and Mother. I love the Most High Father and Mother for revealing truth. So this is a test. This is a trial. The devil, the synagogue of Satan, the House of Rothschilds, and the Oppenheimers are doing all of these things to us to put fear into us so that we will cease to stand up for the oppressed. Now, those same wicked actions being used by the devil, synagogue of Satan, God uses those actions to cause us to remain in the movement, to remain standing up for the oppressed. This is a test. This 10 days in prison is symbolic of a test, of birth, a birthing process. Some of us go to prison and we come out and we say, I'm not standing up for the oppressed anymore. So what was given birth? The birth of the action of turning our backs on the oppressed. Some of us go to jail and come out and say we're going to remain in the struggle, remain in the revolution, and remain standing up for the oppressed. So 10 days, 1 through 9 is birth, completion. And then 10 begins 1 through 9 again at another level. And so the Most High wants us to pass the test. And we begin on another level and give birth to actions that continue our stance on behalf of the oppressed. So tribulation, tried. We are going through trial and tests. Which way will we go? And we see that Barack Hussein Obama, the President of the United States of North America, is another test. Will we look at that beautiful, charismatic black man and his beautiful and gorgeous and charismatic black woman wife? What's that woman's name? I forget his wife's name, but Mrs. Obama. Will we look at her? Will we look at that, at their beautiful children? Sasha, and I forget the name of the other child, and say, well, we're going to be quiet. We're not going to criticize America anymore. We know that America is yet killing and raping and destroying and stealing land, wealth, and resources as an empire for the House of Rothschilds and the Oppenheimers. Or will we pass the test and say, even though I love, Michelle Obama is her name, even though we love Obama, Barack Obama as a human being, Michelle Obama as a human being, their children as human beings, we are yet going to remain true to God, true to Mother Holy Spirit, true to Jesus Christ, justice, the spirit of delivering the oppressed. We're going to remain true to our first love, Jesus, which is justice, and yet stand up on behalf of the oppressed. Now we are passing the test when we do that. You see, it was Rome then. See, this letter was written to Rome. During the time of the Roman Empire. Written to the church during the time of the Roman Empire. And Rome and Caesar and the wicked ruling class and ruling families of that day were coming down on the church because the church was a revolution. Christians were revolutionaries, and because we were revolutionaries, the Roman Caesar, ruling class and families, persecuted the church. And these black people were gaining inroads into the poor of Rome and the poor Europeans that were also suffering from the boot of Caesar and the ruling class and families. And they saw that synergy going on, that dynamic occurring in that many Roman peasants and the peasant class of the citizenry of Rome were going after the revolutionary teachings of Christ and the revolutionary teachings of the Christian church and the revolutionary teachings of Paul. And the desire from Rome was to stop that. And so jail was used, tribulation was used, trial was used, persecution was used, impaling and crucifying Christian leaders. These were Africans that were being persecuted and crucified. And then others followed. Others were persecuted and crucified. But those original Christians were black African people, and we were standing up for revolution. So now we look at the United States of America today. And when we understand that this United States of North America empire is the modern day Rome, working on behalf of the synagogue of Satan, when we understand that we, the black man and woman, are the African Hebrew Israelite nation, we are that same black African church that inspired not only black, but inspired white and Asian, then we are the same today. In America, you saw the black church rising up under various leaders. And you saw other movements rising up, Islamic movements, black Islamic movements. Noble Drew Ali, Fadhad Muhammad, Elijah Muhammad. You saw Marcus Garvey. You saw Dr. King, Minister Malcolm X. You saw the Black Panther Party. All of us inspired by that portion of the black church that stood for revolution. And what happened? CIA, FBI, Fraternal Order of the Police, began to cause us to go through trial and tribulation. And so we were being tested. the devil on the one hand, through the synagogue of Satan, through the FBI, through the CIA and the Fraternal Order of the Police, wanted us to fall off and fall out of the movement. The Most High, Jesus, Mother Holy Spirit, wanted us to become stronger and stand with the struggle and the movement and stand for the oppressed and to organize and break the synagogue of Satan. You see, Jesus is justice. Revelation is talking about going back to your first love, which is Jesus. Jesus means justice. Jesus means freedom. Jesus means equality. Jesus means the deliverance of the oppressed, the liberation of the oppressed, the health of the oppressed, and the restoration of access to the wealth and the resources by the oppressed to the wealth and the resources that has been stolen by the wicked ruling class and ruling families of this wicked world order. So Jesus wants us to remain in the civil and human rights struggle, the revolutionary civil and human rights struggle. But many of us have fallen away. Many of us have become apostate, fallen away from this message of revolution, this message of Christ, this spirit to deliver the poor, the afflicted, the needy, and the oppressed. And it was Rome then. It's America now. Police brutality, the Ku Klux Klan bombings that occurred in the 50s and the 60s, and all the terror inflicted through the Ku Klux Klan in the late 1800s with the betrayal of the black man and woman by the United States government of North America, Democratic Party, and Republican Party. All of those wicked actions by the CIA and the FBI and the jailings. It was Rome then. It is the United States of North America now. It was those original African Hebrew Israelites, the original black church then, inspiring white people, Caucasians, Europeans, and Asians and whatnot. Then, it is us today working to inspire the human family, and we have gone through this trial and tribulation by the synagogue of Satan. The devil wants us to continue not to stand up for the oppressed, but God, Jesus, Mother Holy Spirit, wants us to stand for the oppressed and organize and break the synagogue of Satan. So today, Obama bombs Libya, and many of us are quiet. Today, on behalf of the Rothschilds and the Oppenheimers, Obama bombs Africa, Libya. We see even Ivory Coast, France and Ivory Coast bombing and killing. UNICOM, NATO, bombing and killing in Pakistan, bombing and killing in Afghanistan, bombing and killing in Iraq. We see Israel bombing and killing protesters who are protesting the wicked apartheid state of Israel. And many of us are quiet. This is a trial. This is a test. Will we come out passing the test, or will we come out failing the test? Well, we will pass the test. This is the time of Christ in this time. This is the time of the second coming of Christ manifesting in the uprising of the people. We see that fear, we have to overcome fear. We see that the Obama administration continuing the Patriot Act, this Patriot Act to pump fear into the masses, to remain quiet as the United States of North America continues to bomb, rape, and kill and destroy the human family. But this is the time of the doom of these wicked powers. Christ is here and Christ is manifesting, and we will overcome this spirit of fear. We see that the 911, the false flag operation, the purpose of that false flag operation inside job was to cause us to be afraid. But we are not going to flirt with the spirit of fear. God did not give us the spirit of fear, but God has given us the spirit of a sound mind, a power of love. These attributes, the power, sound mind, and love, these are the characteristics that we have to tap into. The spirit of a sound mind, the spirit of love, the spirit of power, the womb of the mind producing actions out of those characteristics, we will overcome the spirit of fear. So, black people, black preacher, Cornel West, Louis Farrakhan, Harry Belafonte, Tainetta Muhammad, all of those and us, we are going to continue not to fear and encourage ourselves and encourage Christians, Muslims, Hebrews, Hindus, no matter what your religion, atheists, you love Jesus because you love justice. You only think you don't believe in the Most High, but you believe in the Most High. You believe in justice. We are not going to exercise from fear. We are going to tap into that sound mind. Jah love, Jah bless. This is the Exodus, the movement of Jah people.